Open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Thank you for that song. And he is crowned with many crowns. Our Savior is worthy of all glory and honor and praise. And he is the reason we're here today. Romans chapter 1. Brother Ben introduced this letter last Sunday night. And now we're going to continue on in this study. We're going to pick up at verse 8. Romans is one of the most powerful books in all of the Bible. Brother Ben mentioned this last time, just the fact that, you know, we can't say that one book is more important than another because it's all God's Word. Right? Right? We all know that it's all God's Word, right? Yeah, right. Yeah. And so we can't take one thing more important than another, but the impact of this book may be greater than some other books in the world. And praise God for this letter. Paul was separated unto the gospel of God. We see that in verse 1. This is the gospel God had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This is the gospel concerning the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, the one who was made of the seed of David, or you might say he was the offspring of David. And that's the promise that God had said, David, I am going to give you an eternal kingdom. There will be a king who will sit on your throne forever and ever. And so Messiah had to be of the lineage of David. And he was declared, Christ the Lord was declared to be the Son of God with power. And how did that happen? Not just in his miracles that he did, not just in his work and his preaching, but in the power of the resurrection from the dead. And Jesus' resurrection was different. We kind of laughed at this at home last night. Jesus was no ordinary resurrection, as though other resurrections were ordinary. Lazarus, that was cool, but Jesus' resurrection was different. And it was different. Because of all the people God miraculously brought back from the dead, they would die again one day, but Christ was raised to live forever. He was raised in a glorified body. He never saw death again. He died once for all, and he lives forevermore. And so his resurrection was special, and it was different. And it is in the resurrection that we see the power of the gospel. This is the gospel that those Paul was writing to had put their faith in, that God's Messiah had come in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, that he lived a sinless life, that he gave that life in sacrificial death on Calvary's cross, and he was raised again the third day. That's where their faith was. That's where Paul's faith was. And I pray with all my heart that's where your faith alone is today, in the resurrected Christ. Amen? All right. Everybody comfortable? Good. Let's stand up if you can. I'm not. Why should you be? We're going to pray. I'm going to mess you up. We're going to pray. Then we'll read, okay? But we're going to go before God's throne and ask him to teach us from his word today. Because this is not an intellectual study. We need to be taught by the Spirit of God. These things are spiritually discerned. So we're going to ask God's Spirit to teach us. And then you're going to be urged, there's going to be an overwhelming urge in your body to sit down after I say amen. But resist the urge, stay standing, and then we'll read together while we're standing, okay? Are you ready? Let's pray. Merciful Father, thank you for another beautiful day. Lord, I am so blessed in my heart to see the sunshine again and the blue skies and the new life coming in this springtime, early in the spring, and to see flowers blooming and birds, hear them singing, Lord, it just reminds us of the newness of life that we have in Christ. And I pray everything that we see in our lives would point our hearts and minds to you, that we would think on you always. Thank you for this time to come together this morning. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would teach us as we study the scriptures today, that you would guide us into all truth. Lord, we are nothing without you. We can do nothing without you. But in Christ, we can do all things. Nothing is impossible with you. So even we today, even me, I can be taught, I can understand the truths of the scripture, I can know you better because of your amazing grace. And I pray that you would guide us into all truth today, your Holy Spirit would convict us, and Lord, that you would teach us. I pray that we would understand the gospel better, and that we would be better equipped to go and make the gospel known in the world around us. Please help us to be real disciples who are living to be like Jesus and make disciples in the world today. Please help me. I am nothing without you, and I pray for your grace as I stand to preach the word of God today. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing. Verse 8. Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you so much. Seems like a hard thing to have you guys stand for the reading of the word, but I have to stand up the whole time, so you'll be all right. Verse 8, we're going to walk through as much of this portion of scripture this morning as we can, and we're going to start back at verse 8. And can I say to you, consider this, we should be thankful to God through Jesus Christ for all who have faith that is made known. We should be thankful to God for everyone, everywhere, who has faith in Christ that is made known. And I want you to see that it's important that it's faith that's made known. Now, I couldn't read this without thinking about 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And so I want to look at that with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2. This same kind of commendation that Paul gives to those believers at Rome, he gives to those at Thessalonica. And notice what he says here before we read in 1 Thessalonians. Look at what he says here in Romans. He says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And now we come to 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Man, the church at Thessalonica was an exemplary church. What I mean? I mean they were examples to other believers. Because when the word of God came to them, they received it. not as the word of men, not this is what Paul says and this is what Luke says, but as it was in truth, the word of God. And they turned from their idols to the true and living God. They were saved. You guys be excited. Hey, listen, if it wasn't for them being saved a long time ago, we might not be sitting here today. And so the gospel was sounded out. When they got it, they went out and told everybody, everywhere. The word of God was sounded out from them. Because why? Because they started following the apostles, the missionaries. Verse 6, you became followers of us. But then more importantly, they became followers of the Lord. That's the ultimate goal, isn't it? Listen, we have pastors and teachers and we thank God for them, but my goal is not to get you to follow me. My goal is to get you to follow Him. You guys with me? And when we follow Him personally, it changes everything. And they became followers of the Lord. And even though they had a lot of affliction in their life, they had joy of the Holy Spirit in their life because they believed. And that caused them to be examples to everyone who believed. And from them sounded out the word of the Lord. Their faith to Godward was spread abroad. And that's the same kind of commendation that Paul gives to the church at Rome. He back at verse 8, Romans 1, verse 8, I thank God that your faith is spoken of through the whole world. Now, I meet sometimes some people, and I try to talk to them about their faith. I try to talk to them about their beliefs. I want to know what they think about God and about heaven and about hell. I want to know who they think Jesus is. I want to know what their hope is for eternity. And a lot of times people will say to me, well, that's very private. My faith is very private. Well, let me tell you something, friends. Faith in Jesus is never to be private. It's to be made public. It's to be published. It's to be spread abroad. And your faith in Jesus isn't something to hide. It's the light that God has put in you. It's the Spirit of God that lives in you. And you don't take that light and put it under a basket and hide it, but you set it up so that everybody can see my faith is in Jesus. There's a lot of great truth in the little song you used to sing. Come on, where you at, people? This little light of mine. Yeah, why? You going to hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. What are we doing? Well, what's happened is I put my faith in Jesus, and it's real, so His Spirit lives in me, and He's made me a new creature. I'm not who I used to be. My life's been changed by faith in Jesus, and now my life is different because I'm walking with Jesus. And it's evident in my life, my faith. Isn't private. My faith is published. It's shared. And so we want to have the kind of faith that's made known. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. We want to have love to one another. We want our faith in Jesus to be evident in the way we treat other people. We want to have a kind of love that Jesus had, not the kind of love the world has. Most people in the world love people that love them. Most people, not everyone, but listen, we live in a crazy time today. Most people would say, I love my mom. Most people would express love to those who love them. But the kind of love Jesus gives us is different. We don't just love those that love us. We're to love our enemies. We're to do good to those who despitefully use us and persecute us. There's a different kind of love. That's evidence, by the way, of our faith. James 2:14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. What's James trying to tell us? Hey, you guys paying attention? Is James saying that you're saved by works? Hey, I need you to respond better than that because this is really important. Is James saying that you're saved by works? No. But he's saying if you have genuine faith, it will work. And if the faith that you say you have doesn't result in good works to the glory of God through Christ, then there's something wrong with your brand of faith. It's not that God didn't save you. It's there's something wrong with your kind of faith because real faith always works. It has to. It has to because you're born again. The Spirit of God lives in you. Does that mean you're going to be sinless? Does it mean you're never going to fall down? Does it mean that a Christian cannot possibly backslide? No, it doesn't mean any of that. But what it does mean that is if you really have faith in Christ, the kind of faith that results in justification before God, it's going to change the way you live. It has to. It must. It must. So we ought to be thankful to God through Christ our Lord for all who have the kind of faith that is made known. And that truth demands this. I ought to be concerned about people who have the kind of faith that isn't made known. If you say you believe in Jesus, but you don't want anybody to know about it, I'm worried about you. If you say you have faith in Jesus, but it changes nothing in your life, and you talk just like the world, and you act just like the world, and you live just like the world, I'm worried about you. Now, don't misunderstand me. Am I saying you're lost and headed for hell? I don't have any idea. Steve's son, Dustin's been one of my best friends for a long time, and Dustin's always said this, and I agree. I wish people turned green when they got saved. And you don't have to turn green. I don't care. Whatever your favorite color is. But don't you wish there was something that happened so you could just see it? You could just look out in the world and go, oh, saved, saved, saved. Oh, that one's not saved. Let's go talk to them. But it doesn't work like that, does it? All the while, Jesus' ministry, Judas is one of the 12. And all the while, he's not a believer. All the while, he is a devil. All the while, he is going to betray our Savior. And all the while, the only one who knew it in the group was Jesus and Judas. Nobody else knew. So I'm not trying to stand up here today and say that if you are a little bit scared to witness that you're definitely lost. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. People are always hearing what I'm not saying. But I am saying I'm worried about you. I'm concerned. Because if I have a faith that's not being made known, there's one of two possibilities. Either one, my faith is not right. I'm not really born again. Or two, I'm not right with Jesus. Fair enough? All right. Look at verse 9. We should always pray for others. By the will of God, we should pray for others with a desire to invest in them. We should always pray for others with a desire to invest in them. We have created in America today, and really everywhere, evangelical Christianity, whatever label you want to throw on it, we have created a consumer-based religion. And that is so anti-biblical that I'm afraid that Jesus is made sick by looking at the church in the world today. A lot of people leave church this morning, maybe this building or some other church building somewhere. A lot of people will leave and they'll be upset and they'll say, I just didn't get anything out of that. And maybe you've said it and maybe you're thinking it right now. I'm just not getting anything out of this. Listen, I'm trying to give you truth. But the reality is when we come into this thing of walking with Jesus with the attitude of I'm going to see what I can get, I want to know what's in it for me, your attitude, your focus is completely wrong. This isn't really about you. It's certainly not about me. This is about Jesus. This is about Jesus. And because it's about Jesus, because of Him, because of His love, because of His grace, because of His mercy, then it's next about others. You guys remember the old acronym, don't you? JOY. J stands for? Come on, say it together. J stands for? Good job, class. O stands for? Others. And last, Y stands for? Yourself. You know, there's a lot of truth in that. If we would get that, we might have some joy. Verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Well, if you just take that by itself, I don't want you ignorant people. What he's saying is, I don't want you to be ignorant about this truth, that oftentimes I purpose to come to you, but I was let hitherto, I was hindered, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So what's all of this, verses 9 through 13, about? It's about this. Paul wanted to invest in them. He prayed. He had a desire by the will of God to invest in them so that they could be first established and second exhorted. Notice what he says in verse 11. I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. That word established means to be strengthened. It means to be supported. And he said, I want you to be sure in your faith. I want you to be settled in your faith. I want you to know that you know. I want you to be established on the foundation of Christ alone so that you can stand. And didn't Jesus teach that from the very beginning? You guys remember the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7? You guys remember that? The Sermon on the Plain in Luke 6. At the end of both of those, Jesus comes and he says, listen, I want to tell you what a man's like who hears my words. When you hear my word and you keep my word, then you'll be like a man who built your house on a rock. Because storms are going to come, floods are going to come. But if your house is built on a rock, then it will stand. It will be established. But a foolish man, let me tell you about a man who hears my word. Jesus says, who hears my word and doesn't keep it, doesn't obey it, doesn't do it. He's like a man who builds his house on the sand. I shared this with the church at Ami. I would share it with you. Some people believe that what Jesus was talking about was the wadis out there in the desert. Have any of you ever been in the desert? Any desert people? A couple of you? Desert's fun, right? No, Daryl said the desert is not fun. 0 stars, would not recommend. Well, in the desert, it's a dangerous place. There's scorpions that'll kill you. Obviously, heat will kill you. All kinds of things are dangerous there. But do you know what more people die of in the desert than anything else? Thirst? Heat? Flooding. More people die in the desert in floods than any other way. Ah, you look at me like I'm crazy, but I'm not crazy. In the desert, there are wadis. We call them dry riverbeds around here. And what happens is, it doesn't rain there, but it rains 40 miles away. And massive amounts of rain, like near where the wilderness was, near where the desert was, outside of Jerusalem. 40 miles away in Bethlehem, it gets 40 inches of rain a year. It can't handle all that rain. It's got to go somewhere. And it goes out into the desert, and flash floods happen all the time, and people get caught. Now, some of you guys have been hiking in places. If you go hiking in Utah or other places like that, is it not the same? You got to be careful. You got to be careful out there, because if you get caught down in one of those valleys, when the rain comes, you cannot get out because the floods come so quickly. Now, at the bottom of those wadis, guess what there is? Sand. And where is in the bottom of the wadi where the sand is, that's a really dangerous place to stay. You don't want to live there, because if you live there, you will die. And so some people believe that that's exactly what Jesus was giving the people a mental picture of. Listen, not listening to my word is like living in the wadi, and the floods are going to come and you will die. But if you listen to my word, you won't live down here in the bottom. You'll live up at the top, on top of the rock. So when the flood comes, you don't die. Do you get the picture? A lot of people are building their lives in the bottom of the wadi. Probably easier down there. Probably a little cooler down there. Maybe this life would be a little easier down there. But it's deadly dangerous. Paul wanted the Romans, the believers in Rome, to be established. He wanted them to have their lives grounded. And friends, what that means is that we listen to Jesus. But we don't just hear his word, we do his word. Now, can you keep the word of Jesus in your own strength? No. So there's no hope. Can't do it in my own strength. So now we're all going to build our lives in the sand and we're all going to die. My goodness, y'all are killing me today. No. We don't have to build our life there. You can build your life on the rock because you can hear the word of God and you can keep it not in your own strength but in his. Did he not put a spirit inside of you? Has he not given you his holy scriptures to guide you? Has he not given us everything that we need to walk in the power of the Spirit? Friend, we don't have to die in the wadi. We don't have to die in the sand. We can build our lives on the rock. And we can stand because we can hear the word of God through the power of the Spirit. He guides us and teaches us all truth. We can do what he says through the power of the Spirit. We can keep his commandments. I can see that some of you don't believe that. And it's probably because of this. It's probably because you've tried and failed. And you've tried and you've failed and you've tried and you've failed and you've tried and you've failed. Well, welcome to being a human. But if you're born again, then God has called you righteous. And a righteous man falls 7 times and then he gets back up again. And he doesn't do it in his own strength. He learns to depend on God. And some of you have been saved long enough that you're starting to figure this out. And you're starting to learn to die to yourself and be filled with the Spirit. And you're learning to walk in the Spirit. And sure, you fall sometimes, but not like you used to. Because you figured out that you can't do it on your own. And you're learning to yield to God every day. And so you're hearing the Word every day. And you're praying every day. And you're seeking to walk in the Spirit every day. And when you mess up, you're quick to fess up. So you keep short accounts with God. This is being established, friends. Being established. He prayed for them. He desired to come to them so that he could see them established. And then he said, that is verse 12, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Mutual faith. I've told you guys 1,000 times, one of my favorite verses or favorite words in the Greek is that word comforted. And in the Greek, that's one word, comforted together. So we understand about being about exhortation, right? You know, I've told you before, it's when you're running a race and you've got somebody on your team saying, come on, let's go. It's the soldier on the field who's got his band of brothers with them, and they're encouraging each other to keep moving forward. This is what he's talking about. He's like, I want not only for you to be established, I want you to be exhorted together. I wanted to come. I've been hindered, but I want to come so we could be exhorted together. Why? Or how? Verse 12, by the mutual faith both of you and me. Where's your faith today? Is your faith in the church? Is your faith in the preacher? Is your faith in your family? Lord, help you. Is your faith in the federal government? Terrifying words, aren't they? I'm from the government. I'm here to help. Our faith must be in Christ alone. It must be in Christ alone. I grew up pretty sheltered in my Christian life. The only place I ever went to church my whole life was a ABA Missionary Baptist Church. It's all I ever knew. And you get to thinking that, like, we're the only ones sometimes. But I want to tell you that I've been places around this country, met people from all over the world, and I have mutual faith with people. And I am comforted together with them by our mutual faith. Isn't that an awesome thing? Like, I love trying to witness to people, find out if they're saved or not. And sometimes when you're out trying to do that and you're trying to find somebody lost, you're like, oh, another saved one. Not really. But man, when you meet a brother or sister in Christ, there is a comforting together. Because whatever our differences may be, wherever we're from, whatever backgrounds are different, whatever theological differences we have, our faith together is in Christ. And it's a sweet thing. That's what we get to enjoy together here, isn't it? To be exhorted, to be encouraged together through the mutual faith that we have in Christ. This was his prayer. And so because of all this gospel that he started the whole letter with, he comes down to verses 14 through 17. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Because of the gospel that he had received, because of the gospel that they had received, Paul says, I am debtor to the Greeks, barbarians, wise and unwise. It's a really nice way of saying this. Paul felt the weight of having been given the gospel. He felt the weight of owing it to other people to give them the gospel. You see that? We ought to feel the weight of having the gospel that the world desperately needs. And he says it doesn't matter if they're Greeks or barbarians. It doesn't matter if they're educated Gentiles or uneducated Gentiles. It doesn't matter if they're wise people or foolish people. In other words, it doesn't matter who they are. I feel that I owe them a debt to give the gospel to them. We ought to be willing and ready to preach the gospel everywhere. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Sometimes I think we get the idea we can only preach the gospel in certain places. But I want to give you something that may help you, save you some heartache. It's always a good place to preach Christ. And unless somebody's confused by the word preach there, because we have our paradigm, our worldview. Preaching doesn't mean that you have to be a pastor of a church. Preaching doesn't mean that you have to be a missionary to a foreign field. Preaching the gospel is what every follower of Jesus is commanded to do. Is that true? Preaching the gospel is what we're all supposed to do. Verse 16, I've told you before, is one of the most convicting verses in all of Scripture. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. But if I'm really honest with you guys this morning, there have been many days in my life that I was ashamed of the gospel. there have been times when I had opportunity to preach Christ to someone and I didn't because I was afraid. Now, maybe you don't see that as being ashamed, but I do. That's my conviction. That anytime I have opportunity and I have the leading of the Spirit, like there is a time and a place that I can preach Christ and I don't, there has to be a level of shame in it. Why in the world would we be ashamed of the gospel? Are you saved this morning? What's that mean? Saved? Little girl came to me at church camp years ago when we were at Salisaw, and I was trying to talk to her about her salvation. She said, "Oh, I've been saved." I said, "Well, tell me what that means. What happened?" She said, "Well, I was at a church and I walked up front and the preacher slapped me in the forehead and I fell down." Who wants to go first? Is that what being saved is? I'd say 9 out of 10 people in Muldrow, Oklahoma, if I ask them if they're saved or born again, they say, "I got baptized when I was little." Is that what being saved is? Being saved means that you have and are trusting in Christ alone. It means that you've repented. You've turned from your sin and unbelief to God, and you've put your faith in Jesus. You're trusting in His death and resurrection to save you. Not just that you believe in God, the devils believe and tremble, but that you are trusting in Him alone. And so are you saved this morning? That means that you were dead, now you're alive. You were in darkness, now you're in light. You were in the kingdom of Satan. You were of your father, the devil, and now God is your father. Okay. If you could just take a few seconds and let that sink in for a second. Maybe just try to rejoice for a moment that God has saved you. And if that's true, then you know that the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone that believes. And if that's true, how could we ever be ashamed? How could we ever be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? This is where the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, because the just will live by faith. What does that mean? It means a lot, and it's really deep, and we don't have time to dig into all of it, but just get this. It's from faith to faith. When you believe, it causes you to believe more, which causes you to believe more, which causes you to believe more. I'm going to give an illustration that three people in the room will care about. Anybody ever heard of the SR-71 Blackbird? Coolest airplane that's ever been built. All right? The SR-71 Blackbird is one of the highest flying, fastest jets in the world, and they really don't know how fast it'll go because it's powered by two ramjet engines. And a ramjet engine works like this. The faster it goes, the faster it goes. The faster it moves through the air, the faster the air goes into the engines, it allows it to generate even more power. It's like a super turbocharged, super jet engine, like you can't even begin to imagine. Okay, I'm excited about it. I'm sorry. I just love it. So the faster it goes, the faster it can go. The more you believe, the more you believe. From faith to faith. And so the more I lean into the scriptures and believe what I read, the more my faith is going to grow. And that's going to cause me to lean in even further. And my faith is going to grow even more. And some of you say, "I'm struggling with my faith. I've got some doubts." I guarantee you, you're not in the Word. I know that you're not. How do I know? How can I be so sure? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if your faith is weak, then your time in the Word is weak. And I know because I've been there. The Bible and my personal experience both scream that I got to be in the Word. So it's from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How are you saved? Okay, kids, how are you saved? You're justified. You have eternal life. And how are you supposed to live day by day? Man, aren't you glad God made it simple? Tell us about the kingdom, Jesus. He grabs a little child, sets the child on his lap, says, this is what the kingdom's like. He didn't make it hard. We make it hard. He didn't make it complicated. We make it complicated. It's very simple. If you want to see the kingdom, be born again. You want to enter the kingdom, be born again. How am I born again? By childlike faith in Christ alone. Well, after you're saved, then, I mean, you've got to get all the rest of it, right? You've got to know all the theology and all the different isms that there are in the world. Theologians are doing almost as good of a job at confusing people as the devil is. We want to muddy the waters, confuse everybody, have all these billions of different theories and theologies and isms, and all the while Jesus is sitting and he's inviting you to come and follow him. He's inviting you to come and sit at his feet. And friend, are there heresies out there? Of course there are. Does the truth matter? Of course it does. But you're going to find more truth and avoid more lies by sitting at the feet of Jesus than you ever will with hundreds of hours of study at the feet of a theologian. Let's stand together. Our musicians are going to come. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond to God's word this morning. When I stand up here, I try to be spirit-led. I try to be spirit-led every day, but especially when I stand here. And I said some things this morning I didn't set out to say. I hope that was the Spirit of God and not just me. But when that happens, I trust that God's working, because something that he's prompting me to say is something that one of you needed to hear. And so we want to give you an opportunity to respond today, to make sure that you're soundly saved, that you're following Jesus more closely than ever, that you really know him and you know his gospel and you're not ashamed of his gospel. We've got an opportunity to act that out. We're gonna launch our spring outreach next Sunday. We're going to meet together as a church at 3 o'clock, as a church, as an assembly, because a church isn't a building, because a church isn't a place. Because the church is a people that belong to Jesus. We're going to come together as a church to take this glorious gospel that we believe to the people out there who need to hear it. So we've got opportunities to respond in actual, real, physical ways. Living by faith. Not just to be alive by faith, but to live by faith. So if God's convicting your heart, there's things that you need to respond about today, you come right now while we sing.